They're doing things to protect our security. We need that to feel secure. Who's the we whose security is being protected here and from whom? I'm just going to leave that one. Got other people. Actually, she had to go to another meeting, and a woman here that's authoring a book on that. And it's real interesting. I'm not writing the book, so I can't give you the precision on the quote, but there's some famous writer that sometimes referring to the West, somewhere around Denver, Colorado, said, the funny thing is, there is no there there. And that's what she sort of discovered. Ultimately, you peel this onion, there's nothing there, including even the people you would expect. It's the antithesis of what it purports to be. And that's a really insidious part of this we and our kind of thing that they've got. Even I do it, and I'm otherwise perfect. No, it really is. They get you buying into things semantically. If you can conceive it that way, it really, really takes the edges off your ability to frame things sharply. And you have to frame them sharply, clearly, in order to know what it is you have to do to get where you want to go.
I want to say one more thing about that, which is, after the end of apartheid, or the nominal end, whatever we want to say, that one of the heads of South African security, secret police, I guess is more accurate, said what he had been most afraid of from the ANC was not their sabotage nor even their violence, but the possibility that they would convince the mass of South Africans to not believe in law and order. Because if they didn't police themselves, no security force in the world could contain that. And that was the single most important thing that he was afraid of.
Craig Williams, yeah.
You know, the source where I had didn't name it.
I think it was him.
I need everybody to excuse me because I kind of have I got to get going. I want to ask Derek a personal question related to what you wrote in the language book. And your Crohn's disease. You heard a voice you said saying, let go. Do you remember writing that? Let go, Derek.
Keep going.
Well, I was wondering if you've learned what it was you needed to let go of. And maybe this ties in with what the other gentleman was saying about the stage. Like, I think the stage is comfort. And I think maybe that pertains to what the other woman was asking, like, what do we do? I don't think there would be that question in America if people were willing to suffer for what they believe in. I was just wondering if you've had any more insight. You said that Crohn's disease was a teacher, and you suffered a lot hauling all those hives around. Like, that work brought you down. It brought you to a place of being teachable, like, it humbled you, and I don't think like you would have learned anything if you hadn't gotten brought low. And I think Americans are really proud, and they need to humble themselves, like this American pride thing, you know, like it's something I've been dealt with. Like I realize I have these issues too. But like, what have you learned, Derek, since you wrote that?
Well, I think I have three responses. The first one is that in my own particular life, the thing that I had to let go of was that I've heard it said that a lot of people who get abused either end up abusing others or abusing themselves. And my own direction was to turn it inward. And I was repressed. I didn't feel anger. I didn't feel any of those weird emotion things. And one of the things that, and I would not, I would turn pain off. I broke my jump foot. I was a high jumper, as you know. And I broke my jump foot, and I just kept jumping. And I jumped 6'6" on a broken jump foot. I would hop up to my mark, and then I would turn it off. And I would jump. And then I would hurt like hell afterwards. I broke my hand playing softball, I finished the game. I broke my foot playing football, I finished the game. Pretty fucking stupid. And